Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining me now, Jeff Schemmel, who I got to know when he was at the University of Minnesota, of course, and he was the chairman, local chairman of the Final Four here when it came through town back at the thing that we called the Metrodome, and been athletic director at San Diego State, conference commissioner, and now works as a headhunter placing different coaches and athletic directors in positions. And so obviously it's affected him as well. Jeff, first of all, thank you for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, Mike. It is, you described what we all are describing today as an unprecedented time in our business, and certainly sports takes a back seat to the health and well-being of the people of our country, but it is a crazy time.
For sure. But at some point in time, Jeff, like every other business, everybody's going to have to kind of sort this out, including college sports. Now, the NCAA tournament and the loss thereof, what are the ramifications for college sports? Are there non-revenue sports that are threatened simply because that tournament revenue that was distributed to each school, if nothing else, it makes their budget tighter going forward? What happened in what we lost over the last month?
Well, there are so many dominoes that fall out of something like this. I think you've mentioned one. I think we are still to be determined what this means for the NCAA money distribution that goes to all of the schools, all the Division I schools, and in many cases, that's a very substantial piece of money. And we are told, at least, that there is an insurance policy that the NCAA took out to protect against something like this. But I think what we all know is that I think conservative estimates for one single NCAA tournament revenue, the production from that is probably $1 billion with a B. And I think we're at least told the insurance policy isn't nearly that big.
Right.
So I think everyone is taking stock. Certainly the people and the colleagues that we work with on a daily basis, I mean, they are hunkering down and trying to figure out plans, and those plans can be plan A, plan B, plan C, depending on when this all ends in a way that allows something, the institutions and the athletic departments to get back to some kind of normalcy in their operations.
If you were an administrator right now, would you be – the one thing you got is time on your side, right? You don't have any events to attend. But would you be looking at – let's just say next year, would you assume the worst off the top and say, okay, for example, non-revenue sports is going to play the same schedule, but outside of the conference, it's going to be bus only. So if you're in Minnesota, that schedule needs to change, and you need to play Drake, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's too late in the game to do that, but are those the kinds of things that you'd be looking at if you were an administrator?
Well, I think so, and I think what you do is play out different scenarios. And I think the worst case scenario, I think that we're all contemplating right now, is what if we do not play football next fall?
Yep.
And the ramifications of that, particularly financially, are even beyond what we're talking about with the NCAA tournament, because of the incredible revenues that are generated by major college football and the playoffs and the TV networks and all of that, that will be certainly affected in a great way if we don't play football. So I think we all hold out hope that we're going to get back to normal sooner than later. But I think that's the first scenario you have to play out. And then if you plan that you won't play football next fall, then I think you have to work backwards from there and say, okay, what does that mean to us financially? And how do we handle, let's assume we do play basketball next fall and all the winter and spring sports that follow, how are we going to manage that in the way that you just talked about, especially non-conference competition? The conferences, like the Big Ten for Minnesota, they'll determine how that works out. But I think non-conference scheduling, you might have some decisions to make like you just described.
Do you think they're even at a point where they're saying, just use the Big Ten as an example. This thing moves on and you can't start practicing until September 1st. All right, we're going to blow out the non-conference games and just play the conference schedule. Or the college football season will end February 20th and we'll back it back from there and we'll just start everything later.
Yeah, and I think that's a real possibility if this does extend into the time when teams typically begin to practice, which is August 1st. And if we are extending into that time frame, then I think, assuming again that there will be a green light at some point in time, I can see, yes, backing the seasons up into January and February. And I think what you'll see is a, we were talking about this today among a couple of colleagues, you could have a great many of your sports all trying to compete at the same time. And the logistics of all that could be very interesting.
Yeah, because you're talking about maybe a college football championship handed off to March Madness. For some people,
that'd
be paradise, I guess. Jeff, can you stay on with us for a quick break? Because I want to ask you, but we haven't seen any coaching movement, any changes, and I wonder if that's administrators hunkering down or what it is. Jeff Schemmel works right in the middle of all that and has for years. More with Jeff Schemmel. We'll ask him about that. Why are there no coaching changes, and what does this transfer portal mean to the coaches? We'll ask him about both when we come back. Sports to the Max. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Jeff Schemmel on the line with me, and lots of interesting things to talk about as to how the coronavirus pertains to college sports in general. Jeff, if you are an administrator, and I understand these decisions will not be made alone, but are you kind of, when you talk about football specifically and August 1st really being the next sport that can start because they've canceled everything else, are you looking for a trend at some point in time that says, yes, you can get coronavirus, but it's not a death sentence if you're that age 20 to 22 and you will come back from this? Is that kind of the best news that you can get going forward? Because you're still going to run the risk no matter what, August 1st on, that one of your players could get it, and it could permeate with your team.
Best we can hope for right now is that the curve starts going the other direction, and with all of the, I'm working from home. And Minnesota is one of the leaders there for staying home and doing your work from home. And I think if that has results and this virus diminishes from both an infection perspective and certainly a death perspective, I think that's what we hope for, understanding that it's going to linger for a while no matter what we do, I think. And I think as an administrator, I think we all, just like as all ADs know, we depend on our doctors to tell us when someone can play and when they can't. And we will, I'm sure the same thing is going to happen with this. This is in the hands of the medical people to tell us when it is safe for people to come back out in a public forum, and certainly for us to put a football team on the field and let them practice.
Yeah, and in essence, they've got practice that, because that's what the concussion protocol has become.
Right, exactly.
Coaches have nothing to do with it, right? It's just the doctors, and that seems to have worked out okay. Now, after the season this year, now, whenever you you know, however you want to clarify when the season ended, it depends on what team you're following, I guess. But usually the next feeding frenzy is coaching movement in college basketball.
Sure.
And you know how the NCAA tournament is. Those coaches are – there's nobody that's got more rumors going than those coaches at that convention, you know, in terms of who's going where. Well, obviously there hasn't been a convention, but there's been hardly any movement for coaches. I mean, even Richard Pitino's job was in question, and Mark Coyle was quick to bring him back. And that's, I guess, kind of what we've seen across the country. You study it more closely than I do. Do you think most people just said, hey, right now we don't know what's going on. Everybody's back at business as usual next year because we're not even going to deal with that right now?
Well, I think you're right. I think we are involved in two coaching searches, well, two searches right now. That were both started before the coronavirus really hit us all. And we are, one of those is the commissioner of the Big West Conference in California, and we are about to conduct interviews with semifinalists next week via Skype. And it's certainly not the best way to do things, but it is what we're doing. And I think in answer to your question, I don't think there's any question, Mike, that there have been coaches now who probably kept their jobs due to the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. that might not have otherwise. I know some of our clients, I know a couple in particular, that just didn't feel like it, had this not taken place, the change was going to be made. And they just didn't feel like that should be a priority right now when you're worried about all your student athletes and you're worried about your families and your friends. And secondly, the financial piece of letting, in some cases, high-profile and highly paid coaches leave, and you're paying an exit fee for those. The buyouts are big, and just didn't make financial sense at this point in time when you don't know what the financial future is.
And those buyouts you mentioned are getting big. Is that the one area, you know, we heard for years, well, coaches can leave when they want and players can't, et cetera, et cetera. Is that the one area where administration has fired another shot across the bow and said, okay, the one thing we can do is make it difficult to take this guy away, and the only thing we really can do is he can leave when he wants to leave, she can leave when she wants to leave, but the one thing we can do is put a buyout in place that at least makes it difficult.
Well, it makes it difficult on both ends, Mike, because if mm-hmm. if someone comes to take your coach and you have a big buyout, that may make them stop and think. But at the end of the day, you're the beneficiary because that new institution is likely going to pay you that buyout. On the other hand, if you are dissatisfied with your coach and you have a high buyout and you've got to pay that coach to send him packing or her packing, I think that's what's put the roadblock in front of a lot of decision making right now.
And it's not just athletic directors. We haven't seen any movement in anything, have we?
That's correct. I think everyone is just on hold for two reasons. One, it's probably the timing of focusing on trying to find a new coach, especially when you're limited in who you can meet one-on-one and the travel limitations and all that. But secondly, the financial piece. We just don't know. Even the high-profile institutions that are at the top of the heap in FBS Division I football that we all look at as the richest in the country, they're all taking stock right now and saying, well, look, we're just going to wait and see what happens.
You know, the other thing that's getting interesting here is we're becoming familiar with the transfer portal and the grad transfer and talk that eventually there will be no time that you sit out as a student athlete. You'll be able to move and be eligible right away. That puts a whole new dimension in recruiting skill because there's the guys that recruit the high school kids, but we've learned you can fortify if you get the right transfers as well. What's the impact if that happens, if it's that easy for a kid to move?
Well, I think it is a whole new ball game. I mean, and the school that I was athletic director at, San Diego State, had one heck of a basketball season this year.
Yep.
And they did it with three of their five starters were transfers.
Yep.
And they that more of that is going to happen, I think. And I'm not sure I'm a big believer in it. I do think there are lots of circumstances where it is appropriate.
Yes.
But as you know, Mike, most of that, 90% of that is about playing time.
Yep.
And so sometimes it's not always for the right reason.
There's another part to this that I was trying to think of, this piece that, you know, these teams, they never named, of course, who's going to make the NCAA tournament. People may not be aware, but there's a lot of incentives built into contracts for coaches, whether they make the tournament or not. What would you do if you were a coach and you were a bubble coach and you know, you weren't sure if you're, you know, if you're going to make it or not? Would they have a case to lobby? What would you expect from these coaches to ADs?
Well, and you're, again, you're talking about a school close to my heart at San Diego State, and that's close to Minnesota because Brian Dutcher,
yep,
son of Jim Dutcher, is the coach there. And Brian is one of my very best friends in the world, and he's one of those who had just had a year that San Diego State has never seen before, and yet he can't be in the tournament and can't do the things. Obviously, he's going to get some bonuses for his regular season record, but I think, again, I think it puts coaches, and most of those are pretty well paid anyway, so I doubt many of those guys are going to say, well, I need a bonus for this or that,
yeah,
when it didn't happen. But again, I think that's another consideration for all of us.
Mm-hmm. So going forward in the college sports world is day by day, just like everybody else, really.
I think
that's and, I mean, exactly, and right, have plan A, B, C, and D at your fingertips, right?
You have to have a plan, and that's why I feel so good about Minnesota, because Mark Coyle is one of the best, and Minnesota's in good hands. And if there's one thing he does very well, it's make sure all bases are covered and plan very well. So I know Minnesota's in good hands there.
Jeff, appreciate it very much. You did miss one thing up here a couple of weeks ago, Sid Hartman turning 100 years old.
I heard about it, and I saw Dave Mona's Facebook that said that Sid was going stir-crazy because he had to be inside, and at 100 years old, I want to be like that.
And I know that surprised you, right?
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you so much. Always fun to visit with you and catch up and get into some of your insights.
Thanks. Anytime. Appreciate it.
You bet. Jeff Schemmel, nice enough to join us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.